coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
Hallelujah. Did you have a beautiful day? Tell somebody sitting close to you, I had a beautiful day. Amen. You know, you're responsible for what your day turns out to be. You can have a great day, and you can have a terrible day. And it's all your responsibility. Many times we don't know how responsible we are for our daily lives. Sometimes we think it's God that's got something to do with it. But really, God has blessed us. The Bible says we are called to inherit a blessing. So we are the blessed of God. It's important for us to understand the principle of the Word of God. See, life in the Spirit is not the way a lot of people think it is. There's so many who have assumptions about the Bible. They even tell us things they think they are in the Bible that are not there. You understand? They tell us something and they say the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't say that. But all their life long, they have assumed that the Bible did say that. Maybe someone else told them the Bible did say that. See? But it's important for us to have our own personal study of the Word of God and understand what it actually says. You know, sometimes we think someone ought to know it. So, if he tells us that and that is in the Bible, we say, well, he ought to know. So I believe him. What if he didn't? What if he was wrong? Then you would have your faith standing on human assumptions. And that can help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, you can take an example from Jesus. What kind of a man was he? What kind of a man was Jesus? My greatest example in life is Jesus. I believe in him. I'm inspired by Paul. But Jesus is a greater than Paul. I'd rather take an example from Jesus than to take from Paul. You understand? If I loved something Paul did and found out Jesus did something even better, I'd rather take the one Jesus did. Hey, for example, the Bible does tell us that Paul had handkerchiefs and aprons taken from his body and sent to the sick. You understand? And when they put those handkerchiefs and aprons on the bodies of those that were sick, they got healed and the demons went out of them. And I like that. Hey, come on. But then I come to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't send any piece of cloth to anybody. He says to the woman, go home, the demon is gone out of your daughter, with a word, and that demon checks out. He says to the nobleman, go home, your son leaves. And the boy gets well. So I'd rather speak the word just like Jesus and have them get well than to send handkerchiefs and aprons like Paul. You understand what I'm talking about? But I accept what he did. That was beautiful. But I love Jesus. You get it? Okay. So if you were waiting for me to give you some hanky or a bottle of water or a bottle of oil and you didn't get it, now you know why. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He was and is still greater than every prophet that ever came, than every apostle that ever came. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you know anything is possible, don't you? Yeah, we've been talking about anything is possible. That's been our subject for several weeks. Anything is possible. You can be as prosperous as you want to be. You can go anywhere in the world that you choose to go. And that's for you. You can be as happy as you want to be. But it's up to you. That's what religion doesn't tell us. Religion tells us whatever will be. God's already decided what he's going to do with you. If you find yourself to be poor, just thank him and enjoy your poverty. If you're sick and the doctor says you will not leave, thank God for at least helping the doctor to let you know how long you've got to live. And then set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. They tell us these things. And we have our own assumptions. Have you ever noticed that in one breath, there's a fellow who thinks that God has brought him this particular sickness to make him humble. And then he goes to the doctor to get some drugs or to get treatment to help him take away from his body what he said God gave him to make him humble. If God gave it to him to make him humble, shouldn't he ask for more sickness? What do you think? But you know, that's hypocrisy. He's actually demonstrating the bankruptcy of his faith. That's the problem. He doesn't think that anything could really change. And he's too weak in his faith to let anything change. Some of the times it's because he's been taught wrong. You know, if you're taught wrong, you will think wrong. See? You believe wrong. The natural consequence of that is that you'll act wrong. And then the wrong things will happen in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are as big as you choose to be. I'm telling you, if you call yourself a micro businessman, that's what you'll be. Small entrepreneurs, I don't accept such names. Now, if I tell you, many years ago, the church had a membership about 150 or something like that. And I went to this bookshop, Christian bookshop, and I saw a book titled How to Grow Small Churches or something like that. It was a book for small pastors. You get it? Turned away from the book. I wouldn't even pick it. You know why? I didn't want anybody to teach me how to grow small churches. Because I wasn't planning for one. If, for example, if I were a businessman and I knew what I know, and they called for a conference, a seminar, for small-scale businessmen, I wouldn't go. I'm just telling you about me, I don't know about you. You've been attending some, but I'm not going. Hallelujah. No, I wouldn't go. Because I refuse to be a small-scale businessman. You are what you call you. You're what you say you are. Moses said to God, whom shall I say sent me? He said, tell them, I am that I am. If you do not say who you are, they will say you're not. Yeah, but if you don't have the money and say you're a small-scale businessman, that's it, yeah. If you have a little kiss, aren't you a small-scale? That's your man. Go find out some of them guys who attend the macro business meetings. They are in debt. A lot of them are not even in zero. They're in minus. And then they come, they're dressed up, suited up, and sitting there like they got something. Call yourself small. So they call you small. I'm just a humble little businessman, thank you. You think that, because, you know, some people, they think if they act like they got something, everybody's going to ask them for something. They're so stingy, they wouldn't want to say they have anything. Even when God blesses them, they will never say God bless them. Say, if you dare testify that God bless you, your door will be packed out. In other words, a lot of people will come to you asking you for something. So act like you're always in need and they'll leave you alone. It's wrong. That's Satan's principle. The more you talk like you don't have, the less you will have. It's a principle of the spirit. Some women are fond of always acting like they're sick. They act like that towards their husband. They're never well. And then some grandmas and grandpas are that way. The moment their first daughter is coming in or first son's coming in, they start acting. And then they never will. And that drives them to an early grave. But they don't understand it. But you've never heard me say I'm poor, I'm average, I'm struggling, I'm trying to. I'm not trying anything. I am rich. Oh, yeah. I've been talking like that since I was a student in the university. I've been talking that way. Rich. And of course I am. I was told my little daughter said something. She said, God is the richest, and after God, it's daddy. That's right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, people, well, I'm from an average family. No, I'm not. No, I'm in my daddy at home. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. When you were born again, you had a new family, a new inheritance. I never think about, what does my dad at home have for me? I can't even think about it. I don't even think about it. I can't consider it. I don't think about it. There couldn't ever be enough from a human person to me. There couldn't be enough. It would take a God to meet my budget. You haven't understood that yet. I said it would take a God to meet my budget. You know what my budget is? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, people who are unfamiliar with the Word of God, they listen to that and they say, well, he's a boasting. Or maybe that he's a preaching faith. Not this preacher. I believe what I'm telling you. See, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I have all my needs met. Someone said, oh, no wonder. Oh, yeah, but I got all my needs met. I have nothing that I pray for. Oh, God, give me. What will I ask for? Nothing. I got everything. That's the truth. I have everything. What will I ask for? I have everything. And I don't mean, well, I've learned to be without, therefore, whatever I have right now is what I just need. I mean, I've got everything. Why don't you ask me a question? Like, how did you get to talk like this? If you've been listening to me for up to 10 years, and you're honest with yourself, you'd know I've talked like this the whole 10 years you've known me. And if you've known me for longer than that, I've talked that way ever since. I've never talked negatively. Because pretty early enough, I got a hold of this thing. I found out life is here. I don't say, oh, poor me. And I don't let anybody say that to me. So I said they should leave the poor man alone. Are you talking about me? No. I'm not the poor man. Oh, no, nobody talks to me like that. Depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking to your bank account in that bank there in the street, then you're not a believer. You're not saved. Why? The Bible says, those who are children of the flesh are not the children of God. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot. The Bible doesn't say they may not. It says they cannot please God. If you're in the flesh, if you're in the senses, you cannot please God. If you think that you are sick just because you feel the symptoms and you can see the trouble in your body, that's why you say you are sick, then you are a liar. Because when you are born again, in heaven, there is a record about you. That record declares that you cannot be sick. You see, that's God's mind. So when you say that you are sick, God doesn't understand your language. You have to understand this. When you say, oh God, I've been suffering for so long. My father is poor, my mother is poor. You know what happens? When you say, Father, right at the moment you call Father, your voice registers in heaven. Are you hearing me? Immediately, heaven hears your voice. But when you go, I'm sick, or you say, I'm poor, when you start talking like that, illegal operation. And then it will say, the program will be stopped. You have to restart. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But a lot of folks don't understand that that's actually what happens. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, what is His will? His words. If we pray according to His word, He hears us. Which means when we pray, any prayer that is inconsistent with His word, He doesn't hear. Why? Illegal operation. It's not going through. There's an error message. And you know, when there's an error message on that computer, you are not moving any farther. You know what I'm talking about? You just wouldn't proceed. You've got to cancel. You have to cancel the program. You have to restart the program. You know about that. I know who I am. I know what I've got. Paul says, thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and makes manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Hallelujah. Go read the epistles. It says, now therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we are. I'm an ambassador. I operate his embassy. Hallelujah. I work in his headquarters. How about you? See, when you listen, you've got to get the God mentality. Are you hearing me? Because you are a child of God. You're not an ordinary person. You've got to have the God mentality. Who are you? Come on, get me on. You say, I'm an employee of Mobile. Shame on you. You serve there. You're God's own employee. You serve at Mobile. Hey, come on. You understand when the youth coppers are sent to the offices? Whose employees are the youth coppers? Federal government. Then they serve wherever they were posted. Somebody just got it. You serve there. See, they can't run your life. We're going to withhold your salary for 3 months. Woo-hoo. Take it if you want to. We have made up our minds. We will not promote you. Hang it. Don't get offended. These are small men. You understand? You belong to the real superpower. See, we get offended a lot of times because our thinking is carnal. How'd you feel if a 3-year-old boy said to you, I'm not going to let you pass this way. I'll fight you. And he's 3 years old. I mean, his bones are not even strong enough to hold you. You know what I'm talking about? He's just three. Are you going to be scared? For some people, they will be scared. They say, you know, he's just 3 years old. There must be something inside him. That would even make them more scared. So I went to visit that baby. The way he looked at me, that is not the look of a baby. I'll never enter that house again. You know, people are scared of anything. The devil is not a problem. He doesn't count. Hey, come on. I said, he doesn't count. He doesn't count. I don't spend my time praying about the devil. He doesn't count. I said, he doesn't count. Somebody says, don't let the devil hear. Some people are more afraid of the devil than anything else. You know, human beings naturally fear wicked men than good men. Because they know that wicked men are unreasonable. They're completely unreasonable. You know that. when you deal with the devil, you ought to be unreasonable. You don't know. Jesus didn't say, in my name, cast the devils somewhere. He didn't say, excuse the devil. Did he say that? Did he say, be polite? He said, cast out devils. That's not calm. You ought to be unreasonable when it comes to Satan and his evil works. You ought to be unreasonable. In other words, don't go to the realm of reason when you deal with Satan. You have to go in the realm of the Spirit. Don't reason it. Put the word in your mouth, or you'll never win. Listen to me. Satan is not a myth. Satan is a real person. Jesus showed us he's a real person. All right? He's a real person. Some people tell us that there is no devil, that whenever something evil happens, then it is personified with the word devil or Satan. Some even say Satan is really good. And many of these things come from townspeople's meetings. You get it? Now, make no mistakes about it. When you were born again, you were sworn out of that group. You cannot be a member of townspeople's meeting. Say, but I'm there to reach them. You don't have to be a Satanist to reach Satanists. I'm talking to some people now. That's why I'm sticking here for a moment. Just let me stay here for a moment and finish it. You say, but it is for the development of the town. You can contribute to that development without being a part of that group. Understand, a lot of these folks have the town god. They have their town god or their town's god or their people's god. Do you understand? They got a god that the whole village worships. You say, but I don't do that. But you're contributing to it. Don't you give money for the sacrifice, the yearly sacrifice? By the time you contribute, you use the yearly sacrifice, the money that you're contributing to build a shrine for the townspeople's God? You have to understand that that's not Christianity. You cannot accept that. In Christianity, there are no gray areas. You are either in or out. You cannot be. The Bible says we cannot partake of the table of the Lord and partake of the table of demons. You know, sometimes some people tell us, it's okay as long as it doesn't interfere with your Christianity. Listen, it will. In fact, it is already interfering with your Christianity. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. When do you want to grow up? I'm talking to that fellow who's wondering, but there's nothing wrong. I tell people, when you get to heaven, that's not going to matter. Believe. See, this is the height of carnality. When you insist on being in such a group, you say, well, but they help me. That's why now that you're in Christ Jesus, you are in a new society. You have to begin helping one another. Didn't you study the Bible? Even though they were all Jews, The Bible tells us that Paul separated the brethren from the Jews. Then he said, I was a Jew. Didn't say I'm a Jew. He said, I was. He separated the brethren from the Jews. Prior to that time, the brethren met in houses, and then also in the synagogues. But it got to the time where the Jews began to insist that these Christians must believe what they believe as Jews. And then the Bible tells us that Paul separated them. And they began to use a school building for the fellowship. And the brethren didn't return to the synagogue. We're not the same. Jesus said, what do you understand by you are not of this world? What does that mean to you? You are no longer Yoruba. You are not Igbo. You are not Hausa. You are not any of those things. At the babyhood stage in Christ, it will sound like you can be all of those things. All right? But as you grow in Christ, you discover in the Word of God, it is unacceptable. You cannot move spiritually if you're going to be any of those things. And you cannot enjoy your full inheritance in Christ Jesus. Hear this. Every nation is under a curse in this world. Hear what I'm telling you. And this is one of the reasons you must take this so seriously. Every nation is under a curse. So is every town, every village, every city. Now, everyone who's a member of any of those groups is under the curse. When you are born again, you're no longer under a curse. And because of your presence, God is merciful to that nation or city or town. And you become His pipeline of blessing to them. You are His ambassador to them. So He tells us to pray for the nation where we are, to pray for the leaders. He doesn't tell them to pray. He tells us to pray. But if then you decide you are now one with them instead of a priest unto them, then you become a part of their curse. So the things that they suffer with will become your inheritance. Don't take these things lightly. If you're going to grow in Christ, you cannot be a part of the world. What does he mean by come out? Can I read something to you? Shall I read to you? Okay. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Verse number 14. You ready for it? It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with, talk to me, it's there. Let's read it again. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, did you notice it says, do not be unequally yoked. Come on. Read what you have. Just that line. One to go. One more time. One more time. It says, be ye not unequally yoked. What is it to be unequally yoked? Young man, come. All right, you come. No, the other guy. Yeah. He's from the USA. And you are from where? Okay. Now, I don't know. I understand that people who live in Lagos, some have never even seen a chicken. No, apart from, I mean a live chicken. They've eaten chicken, but they have not seen a live one. You know, because you come out from your house to the bus, and from the bus to the, you know, wherever you go, or to your car, and then wherever you go. So, if you've never seen a live chicken, I wonder, that, have you ever seen a hen, a cock? You know what I mean? All right. Now, if some of you have never seen that, I wonder if you have ever seen a live goat. Who has ever seen a live goat? I don't mean magazine or TV. Have you ever seen a live goat? Don't be surprised. This is the 21st century. All right. Now, have you ever seen two goats? Bound together with a piece of wooden material crossing their necks like that. Have you ever seen that? Such that they can't move apart. Have you seen that? Or for plowing, they would use a cow. Have you ever seen that? Where did you see that? Have you ever seen two cows bound together like that, their necks together with these wood crossed tying their necks? Okay, you haven't seen it. All right, now let me show you how they used to do that. You know, from peace and famine, as they moved on to mechanized famine, they began to do this. And they would, thank you. They will tie this thing across their necks, and it's wood, so they cannot move any closer, they cannot move apart. And then connected to this wood will be this material that will begin to plow up the ground as they moved on. Do you understand? So as they drive that thing with wheels, as it moves with its teeth, it will go up and down, up and down, up and down. And the two cows will be going. Good. Now, that thing, putting them together, is called a yoke. That's the yoke. So we can say, these two cows have been yoked together. Now, some fellows didn't have, they had only one cow, and then you come. You. Great, great. And they had a horse. So the guy said, I don't have two cows, I have one cow and I have one horse, but I've got to plow up this ground. So he said, okay, I'm going to use my yoke. And he put the two of them together and yoked the horse and the cow together. Now, when these two were yoked together, the cow and the cow, it was called the equal yoking. They were equally yoked because you got a cow and a cow of about the same size. You understand? About the same strength. So when they moved in the same direction. All right? Everything worked because you had a cow and a cow. So that's an equal yoking. You get it? But now, to bring in this horse and yoke him together with a cow, it was called an unequal yoke. So they were unequally yoked. So the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. So that's what the Bible is telling us. Do not be unequally yoked together. Because when you are yoked together with a non-Christian, it is called an unequal yoking. A Christian cannot marry a non-Christian. If they were married before they became Christians, or one of them became a Christian, it's a different story. That's another matter. And the scripture has words to give about that too. But having become a Christian, you cannot consider marrying a non-Christian. You cannot even say, I'm going to convert him. It is a sin from the beginning. So why should you sin first to begin this relationship you want to make a marriage of? And God is not obligated to blessing a relationship that is not a married relationship. If you say you want to marry so and so, you are not married. You want to, but you are not. God is not obligated to blessing it. Because he didn't say anything about the person you want to marry. He talked about the person you married. You get it? Now, I said that to say this. You know, sometimes some people, they get together and say, but we prayed about it. That you prayed about it doesn't mean God's got no word for the one you want to marry. But he told you point blank, you cannot marry a non-Christian, period. He said, but he's nice. In fact, he's better than all the brothers I know. Yeah. You are not God. You cannot tell who is better because now you're judging. You get it? That's very important. So you cannot be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So when you now come into this vision together that you say you have, and you bind yourselves together and say, together we shall make it, we are a people. You cannot be a people together with unbelievers. You understand? That's why you cannot, you just can't form that lovely townspeople's meeting. Because townspeople's meeting, usually they are, they serve their ancestors. They are connected to their ancestors. Are you following this? It's different from the association of those of us who live in these estates. That's a different thing. We're together here because we live in this estate, all right? So there's an association. That's possible. We know it's business. You understand? It's a business relationship because I live here. That you live here. So the common interest is the fact that we live here. And it's got nothing to do with some roots. It's got nothing to do with someone we've got to serve. So, but when you begin to connect us to some forefathers, you are connecting us to his God. Are you following this? Now, Jacob inherited Isaac's blessing. And Isaac inherited Abraham's blessing. And we, the Bible tells us, because we belong to Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's seed. So you see, you must be connected to your forebears. So if that great-grandpa somewhere, that forefather you're talking about, if he's not connected to Abraham through his seed Jesus, then you have no business being connected to him. Don't look at me like that now. Because I'm telling you the truth. Praise God. Sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You know, they give us names. Haven't you understood? A lot of people, men give names according to their experiences. God gives a name according to the vision he has for your life. Men give names according to history. Something happened to me. So they named the son according to what happened when he was born. You see, they name their sons and their daughters according to the past. God names you according to your future. Why should a Christian be called Babatunde? Why? I'm serious. You might as well have Babatunde, whatever. You cannot. Hear me. This is so important. You don't understand. How can you be named in a way that says that your grandpa has come back in you? That means whatever great grandpa was subject to, you are going to be subject to. Whatever sicknesses came to his body will come to your body. Whatever failures he had, you are going to have. So you're actually being told you're not going to be greater than grandpa. Because grandpa's come back to live his life on through you. Yet, the Bible says, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the plan of the Lord shall prosper. And he said, so how can Jesus and grandpa prolong their days in you alone? Jesus doesn't want to prolong his days with your grandpa inside you. So that's what he wants to do. And that's what somebody else is telling grandpa to come do. Now, grandpa cannot really come back. Grandpa is either in hell or he's in heaven. And he ain't coming out of hell or coming out of heaven. You understand what I'm talking about? So what's going to happen? It means that the demon that functioned with grandpa will locate you. And he has been given by your name. He has the legal rights to come into your life. And that's sad. He said, what about grandpa's angel? God recalls the angel. You can't imagine how Christians, they answer funny names. Ogun something. Ogun. What is Ogun Shola? How can? Why? It's an abomination. Hear me. No. You see, what I'm telling you now, there are some Christians that are going to say, no, it's just a name. But look at their lives. Look at their lives. They would rather die than to change that name. They hold on to it. It's my grandfather's name. We will protect that name. Okay. Keep it. When you're tired of it, you will know. Just keep it. The reason for stroke in the family. Great-grandpa died of stroke. Grandpa died of stroke. Pa is sick of stroke. You should know where you will go when you are 40 or 60. Great-great-grandpa was very rich, but he died poor. Great-grandpa became very rich. For some reason, trouble came, he lost his wealth. Pa was working for the government. He became wealthy and strong. Then they sacked him suddenly. Can't you understand? Can't you see something is after you? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Why do you want to keep something that God has buried? Why do you want to keep it? Something God has destroyed, you want to put it together. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us, the curtain, the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the most holy place was unveiled. And everybody saw the mercy seat. Everybody saw, wow, wow, look at the cherubims of glory sitting over the mercy seat. But what do you think the priest did when somebody hollered out to them, hello, priest, hello, something's happening in the temple. He said, what? No, we must finish with this man. They said, the veil has been torn in two from the top to the bottom. And they ran there and tried to put it together. What God tore apart, men tried to put together. And that is their trouble today. The priest should have stopped there to say, did you say it was torn from the top to the bottom? Then if God did it, I will not put it together. And then go back to the word and find out why did God tear it. Must have had a reason. No, man doesn't want it that way. He'd rather keep it. We shall maintain my grandfather's name. You know some people, they say, the name of this family must be protected. They want to protect the name of the family. If the name cannot protect you, it is not worth protecting. Did you hear me? In Christ, we don't protect his name. His name protects us. Liba kalamanunda gracia. You get it? That's it. Oh. I was telling you, anything is possible. And we got to this. You know, I thought I should answer the questions in some hearts today. And I know that for some other people, some questions have come up that weren't there before. Now you're having questions that, okay, so what about this? What about, relax. May God answer your question in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, when you don't have friends in church and you come in and you say, well, I don't have friends. If I had friends, I know what my life would be. I don't have friends. The problem with many is they are so selfish, they want people to befriend them. They wish someone would help them. I have nobody to help me. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Everyone who is a child of God has a future that is bright and shining. But not everyone achieves that which God has planned for him. Not everyone becomes what God has determined for him to become. Now, is it possible for a man not to attain to what God planned for him? Emphatically, yes. Didn't you read about Saul? The Bible says, it repented God that he had made Saul king. He said, did God make a mistake? No. God gave him the freedom to decide. Because you're a spirit. And you're made in the class of God. That's what the Bible says. He made you in his image. You're like him. So he doesn't run your life like that. He gives you the opportunity, the right to decide, the right to choose. It's up to you. You can be what you want to be. But you have to decide that you're going to be that man. Hallelujah. So his principle in the scripture is, he shows you the picture. And he shows it to you through preaching. Hallelujah. Let me just read that to you. And read something to you from the Bible here. Do you love the Bible? Are you sure? The book of Titus in chapter number 1. Book of Titus. You know, when you start talking God's word, when you start talking God's word, the circumstances may not look
like what you are saying. But don't stop. Because if you stop and start talking according to the circumstances, you'll be a failure. You'd lose. But you have to talk according to the kingdom, according to God's word, according to the picture given to us in the word of God. You stand in front of that mirror and say, huh, I'm looking old. Huh. It won't be long before it gains the dominion over you. And you look much older. And then everybody around you begin to tell you, you really look very mature. That's to be polite. Then they keep saying, you look older. Much older than your age. Then even those who are older than you, when you pass by, they say, madam, not for respect, but because they think you are as old as their mother. You see it? Your mouth controls your life. Now, look at verse 1, chapter 1, book of Titus. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Now, watch this. In hope of eternal life, life which God promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. He manifests his word through preaching. He shows his promise through preaching. He unveils it to you through preaching. So as the word of God is preached, you get the picture. You may have a large tumor in your stomach and the doctor says you're going to die because of that tumor. You put your hands, if you're born again, you put your hands over that tumor and you say, tumor, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you get out of my body. You may not see it leave immediately, but you have killed the life of that tumor. It cannot grow any further. Guess what? 3 days later, it may look bigger than before. But don't change. Because that's a trick of the devil. Don't change. It's trying to get you to change. So you're, oh, but it's getting bigger. And then you become afraid. No, no, no. Don't give up. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are getting smaller and you're getting smaller and you're getting out of my body. You may hear the devil tell you, no, it's not going to work. You're just talking. That proves it's working. Let me tell you something. When the devil knows something is working against him, that's when he begins to say, it's not working. And I learned a long time ago that when the devil tells me something's not working, because God never tells you it's not working, he doesn't have that language. He says, all things are possible. He never tells you it's not working. So now when the devil tells me it's not working, then it's really working. Then you feel like you're getting weaker. Don't go, oh please, I don't know, I have very little strength left. Don't talk like that. Say, in the name of Jesus, against hope, I believe in hope. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to die. He thinks it's taking you down. You're almost not able to walk anymore. No, don't give up. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to go down. I will not fail. You say, but I don't have enough strength to shout anymore. Say it under your breath. I refuse to die. I refuse to die. You may find you're not able to stand anymore, but I refuse to die. You may be creeping. I refuse to die. In the name of Jesus. You say, but what if you now die? That is impossible. That's the secret that many don't understand. His name never fails. You may get to the bottom of the valley, but you are coming out. Hallelujah. They may take you to the lowest. You will not stay there. Hang on. Keep using the word. It will not fail. The Bible says about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This stroke will not take my life. Thank you, Jesus. This cancer will not take my life. It cannot. I am destroying the cancer in the name of Jesus. Then you start talking to the cancer. You say, cancer, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am against you, cancer. You will not grow. You are dead. You are dead. You are passing out. You are passing out. You are passing out. And then start seeing vision for the cancer. You say, I see you going. I see you leaving me. I see you getting out of my body. I see you quitting. Cancer, you are a goner. Cancer, you can't stay. I see you going away from me. Somebody say hallelujah. Yay! Glory. Stand up and worship him. I know who I am. I've found my place in God. Hallelujah. I'm a success. I'm a victor. I'm walking in prosperity. I have abundant life in Christ Jesus. No weapon fashioned against me prospers. Oh, glory. Give him praise. Brother, you are a success. Sister, you are a success. You are a victor. You are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are making progress in your life. Yes, success is at work in you. Hallelujah. You are the reflection of the glory of God.
This message is an excerpt from a volume series of teachings. To order for the complete volume, log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.